Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the sixth episode of the Bonnie's Breakaway. I'm Gavin Watson, joined by my co-host Ryan Addio and Bonnie's men's soccer coach, Mick Giordano. Coach, it's been a while, but how are you doing?
Yeah, it has been a bit. We're doing all right, man. We're doing all right. I think all of us have been, we've all had a little bit of illness go around. We've had recruiting trips. We've had madness of life and everything. So, but we're hanging in there. Can't complain, and excited to be back with both of you.
Yeah, anything you do for the holidays that you want to talk about? Anything with the team, maybe just yourself, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just work.
I hear you.
Really, it's just try to get – we try to give the boys – so when they after finals, when they leave, they'll have some fitness and they'll have some strength and conditioning stuff that what we'll give them. But ultimately, it's a little downtime for them. There's one or two that will be in winter break course and they'll need to be in a class, but – they'll be all right. And then from there, you know, I'll be fortunate enough to see some family, go back to the Carolinas a bit, spend some time there, and then do a lot of recruiting out of there, couple trips and everything down, you know, headed out to Raleigh, couple other places in the Carolinas, go down to Florida, and then we'll come back up north for a couple things. So nothing crazy, a little bit of reset time, mostly just try to get organized and get ready to go do this thing again.
Yeah. You mentioned the like off-season tournaments and stuff. Is that more the spring? That's when that starts?
So there's been a bunch that's already been going on so far. This past weekend, there was a lot. Danny was out in Phoenix. I was down in Sarasota and then went up to Greer. So hit two different events. And there's just loads going on right now and everything. So there's a bunch happening really from kind of last weekend. And even I would say the weekend before Thanksgiving, but really last weekend kicked off the majority, and then it'll be kind of the next like 8 weeks or so, really through mid-February, that there's a lot of youth events, recruiting events and everything. And then add on top of that the mayhem of the transfer portal. Yep. And that Yep. opening on Thanksgiving week and 900 names being popped in there in the first 3 days of that week was bit of fun chaos to navigate and still navigating. So just going through all of the avenues right now between that and junior college and everything. So yeah.
You talked about the transfer portal a little bit. Yeah. You know, how much do you plan on using the transfer portal this off season and in the future here for the program?
Yeah, look, we're definitely going to use it for sure, and I think you have to just navigate it in the correct way. I'm certainly not a big believer in that's the only route you go. You know, we were fortunate. We had a couple early signees that are freshmen that will come in, and then we kind of took not a break, but we kind of took a little bit of a backseat with recruiting to focus on our current guys in the middle of the season, make sure that we were pouring everything into them. And then when the season finished, we went back into freshman recruiting and then transfer recruiting and everything. So we've got fingers crossed. We'll have some several updates really by this time next week that will make us all quite happy and across the board for some of that side of it. But, you know, I think it's a tool you have to use in the portal these days in any sport, if I'm honest. But we're just a believer in also with getting your culture correct. It's about having a balance in your classes and being able to have that sorted out. So we'll have a mixture of four-year guys, a mixture of two-year, a mixture of one-year. But just making sure we get the correct guys in that can fit it and everything.
You know, when I reached out and talked to you last week or so about Felix Schoen coming over here, you said he came to you from a contact in Germany. And, you know, obviously not trying to have you disclose your sources or anything, but how important are those relationships when you're recruiting both stateside and internationally to have those contacts?
I truly can't even express the importance of it. If I'm honest, I was just on a call just now as I was walking over here with a contact that we have who's now also has transfer side of it too with some of his players and whatnot, but they really help a lot in the sense of if you have someone you trust and someone that you can go directly to, you know what type of individual you're going to get from them when it comes to a person and the character, and as you guys know, that's number one for us first and foremost. So you can be able to have that. By all means, there's so many agencies and handlers and everything out there these days, and I think part of that is because guys have seen the market of what they can go do. Some of them don't always have the best intentions either behind it, but we have a select few that we will go to and that most of the time, even if it's sight unseen, they've built enough reputation. We have enough of a relationship now that even if we're like, hey, Mick, just trust me on this one, we have one or two guys, three guys really that we know, like, hey, we can really go. And then there's other really good relationships that we have behind it too, and guys we can trust. And sometimes it's all just about the fit behind it too. Sometimes there's really good contacts, have really good players. They're just not exactly a fit for maybe it's what we're looking for positionally, game model wise, or potentially just St. Bonaventure University in general on the academic side. So those contacts. So yeah, you can look at some of the best programs, and you can look at some of the most up and coming programs within it. Some of them are some of the best recruiters out there, and that's because of the contacts they have. You have to be able to have good players involved. So yeah, they're definitely, that phone book needs to be sturdy and strong.
Going away from recruiting just a little bit, I'm sure you've been flooded with that recently. Yes. You're super busy. Have you had any time to watch the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, so I've done it. I was fortunate enough, the NCAA had me work for them for the first two rounds.
Really?
So the first round I was at Cornell versus Lafayette, and I was at that. So I watched that one live and then watched a couple others. And then second round, it was Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving week, and I was down south already in the Carolinas for family stuff, and I was able to go over and watch High Point and West Virginia in person, which was one of the best in-person games I've seen in a long time. So I've been fortunate enough to see the first two rounds in person, catch some on the phone or on the computer, and then I've watched the last couple. I missed this past weekend the Elite Eight. I missed those games, being on the road, and they were in the middle of the day, and there was youth games going on. I kept up with scores, but that's been the only round so far I haven't actually watched. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Final Four.
Yeah.
As of now, pending weather, I'll be at the Final Four in person.
Really?
Okay. This year and whatnot down in North Carolina. So I'm looking forward to it. And a couple people that I'm familiar with. You know, St. Louis, of course, in the conference.
Right. I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
And then Furman, who I'm really familiar and know their staff quite well, just haven't been an hour away from us in Asheville and playing them at least once, if not twice a year,
right,
and everything. So having a couple familiar. And then NC State, obviously down in the Carolinas, don't know them quite as well, although one of their assistants is a former assistant of mine. He was my second assistant that I ever had when I was a head coach at Asheville.
Okay.
So Jordan down there doing that. So I have some ties into the Final Four right now that have a little bit more of a draw into it.
Well, I was going to ask about St. Louis, you know, being an A-10 team.
Yes.
They kind of came in as underdogs, but you know everybody. So, yeah. I mean, but for St. Louis being, you know, of course, in the same conference as St. Bonaventure,
yes,
does that mean something for the conference? Does that mean something for, you know, the A-10
itself? 100%. 100%. If you want to go by power of connection, St. Louis drew Dayton twice this year.
Right.
Now they beat him the second time because it was in the conference championship. And they beat him in pens, but they drew him in the overall play. Both games at St. Louis. We were fortunate enough. We went to Dayton, and we drew Dayton 2-2 on the road. So by power connection, we're right there in the Final Four ourselves.
Right, exactly.
And if only it was that easy. But no, definitely, we've known St. Louis obviously is a good group. I think it's also one of those that speaks to the strength of the conference and just speaks to the strength of the A-10 and where it has been over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, last year getting so many teams in, this year having St. Louis make a run to the Final Four, it just continues to speak of the strength of what is going on, and also tells our guys of how close we are, but then also how far and how much work we have to do as we're looking at it. And if we really want to be at that level, the possibilities there.
Right.
If anything, St. Louis has shown the possibilities there for anyone in our conference. But you also have to be organized and diligent and believe, like what they've done and the comeback of what they had at Akron and what they continue to do on their run. So really excited. You know, they've got a little bit of this is an old school rematch, St. Louis and NC State. I think it was 96 they met in the Final Four. NC State lost. It was mid-90s, but NC State lost that one to St. Louis. So it's a little bit of a rematch,
right,
coming back around and everything for them.
There you go. Like you said, it's like we're right there, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Flipping the page over to some of the awards we didn't get to because we had such a break here. You know, five of your guys earned College Sports Communicator Academic All-District, which recognizes the nation's top student-athletes, and it combines performance on the field as well as off. Those names were Seth Hammond, Ricardo Riddlesberg-Galan, Gabriel Adu, Captain Calum Shillington, and Yassine Khalid. How impressive are all of those names, as well as, you know, Seth Hammond? He earned A-10 All-Conference First Team, as well as today or recently being announced United Soccer All-Southeast Region Second Team. What do those things mean for the program as well as the players?
No, it's unbelievable. It's great for the program to have the recognition by all means, and to show for guys that we're recruiting to come in of, like, what is possible. But then it's also just wonderful for those individuals because of how hard they've worked, especially the academic ones and everything of everything they've done and they've given in the classroom. You know, I'm very hopeful and fingers crossed. By this time next week, Seth will have been named, you know, a first team academic All-American. Fingers crossed there that that's going to get across the board as well, because he's earned it and he's done really well. And it would be awesome. We've had, I was fortunate enough to have one of his really good friends, who was our captain at Asheville, was first team academic All-American in 24 and 2023. So this would mark year three in a row, you know, being blessed to have worked with someone named that. So fingers crossed that comes across. But, you know, unbelievable for Seth yesterday, getting recognized, not even, you know, anything else, but just second team all region in the Southeast for United Soccer Coaches is a massive one. I know the last time we had the program had someone named all region was in 2022, and that was third team, if I understood correctly. I could be wrong there, but if I understood correctly, the last time we had someone named second team was in 2018. You know, Seth continues to set stuff for us, and again though, it's about understanding what, like, the possibilities are and believing in the system. And I personally I'm so unbelievably fortunate as a head coach, and more so just as a relationship, to have Seth, you know, be here, and everything he does, everything he shows the guys of what is possible. You know, by all means, I think everyone in this room knows we didn't achieve some of the things we wanted to result-wise. Even without doing that, though, these are the possibilities of what you do when you buy in and you work hard and you put the team above yourself and you find results, you find success. These possibilities can happen, and now hopefully again it's him getting himself another award or two coming up here soon, and then hopefully it's also him signing his first pro contract, as fingers are crossed for that as we go through in the next couple months of everything and whatnot. So it is it's amazing the awards these guys have earned, but it's really helpful, like I said, to be able to have the spotlight, the name of our program, as we're trying to turn this thing and we're trying to go continue to get to the next step and next level of it. It's been really fortunate to have all of them recognized and being able to get some accolades.
Yeah.
You know, that actually was one of the next questions on my list was, as a head coach, you know, what is it like to have guys who might want to go play professionally and have any guys expressed interest besides obviously Seth Hammond in going and playing professionally after their time here?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things we ask in the recruiting process. And we know guys sometimes adjust and sometimes they change their pathway, you know, as they're going along. And sometimes the things change behind it when they go from the first time they're recruiting to the end. But one of the biggest things we're looking for guys that have those aspirations. And part of that is because then we know guys will be willing to do some of the extra work. They'll be willing to do the stuff in the unseen hours to help themselves get better. And the more we can continue to get individual success and individuals that are doing really well and being the best version of themselves, when we approach that in a team setting, when we can approach that with good people, that just drives the program forward. So we've got several, for sure, seniors that are trying to get themselves to the next step and everything. We've got younger guys, for sure, that have those aspirations as well. But it's about continuing to try and, you know, have more and more of them find that success. And, again, I've been very, very fortunate in my past to have now coached several guys that have gone on to the next level and have one or two guys from previous program that are about to sign a pro contract now and everything. And it's just about really just having guys that want to drive forward.
Yeah. Honestly, with Seth, I think it's just a matter of time. I feel like yes. every time I go onto like Instagram or something, I see a new award that
yes,
he's getting.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
he's absolutely deserved it. Absolutely.
Yes, he has. And there's a lot of clubs sniffing around. Talked to one just earlier today. I've talked to a couple over the last few weeks. You know, he's got some options and he's got some things. It's just trying to make sure we can get him the best thing possible for him right. and keep him playing because he's yeah. got a long road ahead of him still.
Yeah, it's absolutely great to hear. We'll be rooting for him.
100%. Yeah. We were trying to find another way to get him another year of eligibility.
Right,
unfortunately,
I know.
Unfortunately, our director of compliance, she's one of the best out there. But even in that situation, she couldn't make happen yeah. for us. So fair enough. It's time for him to go to the next level.
But gonna kind of transition. We promised you a little bit of some actual, like, you know, soccer, football talk
outside
of the Bonnies. But did you get any chance to watch the World Cup draw? I think it was last week.
So I missed the live draw.
You didn't miss when much, I'll be honest, but yeah.
That's what everyone's told me. It just happened midday, and there were games going on, and I had to make the tough decision. And if I'm honest, I was outside in really nice, warm Florida weather, so I wasn't losing out too much. But I have seen the groups. I've looked back at it and waiting a couple playoffs now and a couple yeah. European games to be done to get the final list of who's in there. And I know that will affect the U.S. a little bit and whatnot. But I did be able to take a look at it.
Yeah. So U.S. drew Australia, Paraguay, and it was a playoff. But it's yes. probably looking like Turkey at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of just your thoughts on maybe that group.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one where. Would I say we're favorites? I would never say that because of U.S. soccer and yeah. how we've gone some days. You know, if I look back at my favorite World Cup, which was kind of one of my first memories of everything, was 2002 when we were kind of in the group of death with yeah. South Korea and Portugal and being able to get through on that, you know, and then the 2010, same thing. I think we definitely have some favorable things, but at the same time, you know, there's some good countries out there that can go after us and that can really hurt us. So yeah. it's a great group. It's an exciting group. I believe two of the three games are out on the West Coast, if I remember
yeah.
correctly, as
they're,
well.
They're mostly all in L.A., I believe.
Yeah. So I think, you know, most of our group stage for the U.S., it's looking like it's out that way. So maybe not getting to anything in person for the U.S., maybe yeah. someone else. But I think it's a great group, and we've got a great opportunity to progress, and you know, if we could play as well as we have recently
yes.
in some yeah. of our recent friendlies and everything, then I definitely favor us. It's Pochettino's a brilliant manager. I think
Absolutely.
It's just about him getting the correct people, because our pool is so large, because the country is so large.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the difficulty he has with putting that roster together
yeah.
and then deciding, you know, how we mesh this. And I will say, I'm going to put a strong statement out there. I don't know if we'll see all of our big names of what people term as our big names as selected.
Yeah.
I think there will be a couple that miss out. More so, he's going to look for the cohesion and the blue collar of what can get us through the grind of group stage and the round of 16 and even the quarterfinals and whatnot. I have a feeling, I don't know for any fact or anything, but I have a feeling there will be some bigger names that everyone is kind of accustomed to. That will miss out on that roster as he goes and tries to pick maybe a little bit more cohesion and blue collar type names behind
yeah.
it.
I know for a lot of the friendlies, like Christian Pulisic yeah. wasn't there, but you know, he's trying to rest from his time
yes.
in Italy. And
yes,
I get it. I understand. I would be terrible if he wasn't
yeah,
to play. But
yeah.
there's those names. A lot of our strikers as well tend to, you know, take the time off,
yeah.
and not play the friendlies, and I think that's really hurt. You talked about the cohesion, just mm-hmm. the guys being able to play together, and we have a lot of, you know, spunky guys coming
yes.
up. Like you mentioned it, blue collar. I think that's a perfect word. But it'll be interesting to see where we are, and I think hopefully the U.S. is on the upcoming.
Let's
but we'll
hope.
See. We'll
Let's
see,
hope
yeah.
for sure. There's the talent's there.
Absolutely,
the talent's there. It's now just about the cohesion and about being able to put it onto the field and the excitement of that. And we all got to think, right? We're in the U.S., so. You know, you've got to have a little bit more to you, knowing that you're the home
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
And that's been the way for the last several World Cups as well. The home countries always have a little bit more buzz to them. And while this is a unique one, split over
right.
Over the continent and whatnot, Mexico and Canada are still great countries and really good sides as well. We have to hopefully hope that some of that buzz can go into the U.S. camp and be able to drive them forward.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be exciting to see in the summer. It's been a while. I mean, last time the World Cup, what was it, 2020?
It was a weird one where they did in December. Yeah, the Qatar one that they they did in, I think it was actually 2021 because of COVID.
And, it was one of
and
those
got moved
weird
back,
years,
and then
yeah.
they moved it from summer to winter, or our summer to winter,
right.
because of heat and everything. So it was a strange and unique one, to say the least, being
yeah.
played. I remember the Prem and all the big leagues took like a mid-year basically break
yeah.
and ended in November, and then didn't start again until January. And so it's been a weird time since we've had a traditional summer World Cup.
Yeah, I don't even really remember last time. I just remember
yeah.
I remember our group, and we got out of it somehow, and
yes.
that was about the extent of it.
Yes.
I think we played the Netherlands first round, and
we got knocked out 2018.
Yeah,
we got knocked out there.
So
I want to get your thoughts on FIFA just announced that they're going to implement hydration breaks.
Yeah,
essentially making it quarters now.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, you have some experience with the hydration breaks with Bonaventure. Do you like the? I mean, this isn't necessarily the hydration break, because, you know, whether it's indoor or outdoor, whether it's hot or cold, they're going to take the hydration break,
yes.
and they're going to do it at the same time.
Yes.
Are you
yeah.
a fan of that, or would you prefer back to more of the classic soccer or football, where you play the 90 minutes with the one break?
Yeah, man, it's a tough one, to say the least. Like, I'm split on it for sure. I get it, and I especially get it in the hotter temperatures and everything. I mean, you know, seeing it how hot it could get, you know, the safety of it and everything. That being said, a little bit of the old school in me, where we didn't have those, kind of just says, like, all right, well, just get over it and just deal with it and whatnot. Like, I can't say, like, I'm a huge fan. I 100% think it was a smart decision for them to be able to do it, in regards to they just decided to make it a plain playing field and make everyone the exact same.
Yeah.
I get that side of it. I still think it's a little bit kind of strange, and it takes away a little bit of the uniqueness of our sport and what our sport brings.
Right.
By all means, again, I get it for the athlete's safety. I definitely understand, especially with everything that continues to go on and the continuing of changing and within the sports psychology, the sports medicine, the physiological side, like everything continues to change and the demands of the game continue to change. So I can understand why we want to add it in there. I can't necessarily say I'm a fan of it. However, that being said, maybe next fall something works out for our way and
right.
we're able to draw up something in a quick little hydration break and we can score off a goal, and I'm a totally
right,
a fan
exactly.
of it. So it's just one of those where I think at least they did it in an intelligent way of just saying, like, hey, everyone, we're going to do this, and this
right.
is what it's going to be.
I think they, like, not really trial runned it, but I feel like the Club World Cup,
yeah.
which just took place, like, last summer,
yeah.
they kind of trial ran it there, and
yes.
it worked fine,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah,
there
yeah.
were a lot of clubs really complaining because it does get hot in
yes.
the U.S. in the summer. I mean,
yes.
there's no doubt about that. But so I think that was kind of their test run for
yeah.
it. It worked out enough fine, and, well, here we are. We have water
yeah,
breaks
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But
I want to say they test run a few things
yeah.
last summer as well with trying that, and that was one of them. And fair enough, at least that's why they do it. And I know they used to do they always have that tournament. Now it's the Club World Cup, and it used to be the Confederations Cup of why they used to do it and whatnot. But they've got at least something of where they have a trial run, and they figure it out. They figure out the grass. I know that was a big issue
yeah.
last year in the summer. And so, you know, fair enough, credit to FIFA being able to do that. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see with some of the indoor environments and everything if it's actually
right.
actually one of those. It's one of those that's really, like, what are we doing? But at the end of the day, no one can complain saying anyone had an unfair advantage or
yeah.
or a disadvantage. So they at least have it the standard across the board.
Yeah, I agree with that.
As a United fan, I know
yeah.
You're a United fan, but the Liverpool and the drama with Mo Salah, just to
boy.
Give a little bit of context, Mo Salah hasn't played in, I think, now four games as of
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah.
Head coach Arne Slot said it was just a strategy decision. But Salah said he feels like he's being thrown under the bus, and both of them have kind of hinted that they don't know if he's ever going to play for Liverpool again.
Yeah.
And there's talks of him potentially leaving for the MLS or the Saudi League
yeah.
Once the transfer window opens. Yesterday, Liverpool picked up a 1-0 win against Inter Milan, and the headline in The Guardian was, "No Salah, no problem."
Yep.
Salah has to leave for the African Cup December 21st. How do you think this eventually is going to end with Mo Salah in Liverpool?
Yeah, I think based on his recent comments and how he kind of threw the club under the bus, threw the manager under the bus and everything, I think because of that, I don't think we'll see him in a Liverpool kit again, in my own opinion. I think they're going to go ahead and say, like, all right, we'll cash in. We'll sell you off, most likely to the Saudi League, or could be obviously to MLS too.
Yeah.
But mid-year, when you come back, like, I personally don't see him coming back from this one. There's been a lot of both of you, of course, know I'm a big podcast guy. There's been a lot of pundits that have had a lot to say. Jamie Carragher being one of them.
Yeah, I had him written down in my notes as one of the people.
He had a strong opinion on it and everything. But there's been a few others that have come out that have maybe been a little less tied, I should say, to the Liverpool badge and maybe a little more level-headed. But the big thing a lot of them have said is one of those things. For a senior player that has such an image of him, you know, as a manager, you would appreciate them being able to protect the club, appreciate them being able to protect their teammates, themselves, and the manager, regardless of the decisions being made. And that's part of being a top-level professional. And, you know, I can't certainly speak on what's going on internally in the dressing room or in those meetings and everything. I would have to imagine Arne Slot's handling it professionally,
right?
You just on the outside looking in. By no means do I know that, but you know, if these things happen, for sure, and you get into ebbs and flows sometimes with players as coaches and managers, and sometimes it doesn't always go their way. But the big thing of what you always try to look for and preach is, like, in the media, in the public, we don't handle it, or we don't answer certain things, or we handle it certain ways. And then when we come back around and we're behind closed doors, we address everything that needs to be addressed and whatnot. And so I think because of how strong some of his comments have been, I can't say for sure, but in my opinion, I think we've seen maybe the last of him in a Liverpool kit, which at some point in time was going to happen anyway. You know, it was one of those where he had a long contract negotiation last year that continued to go on, and he was very firm in his stance. And then Liverpool and their ownership finally gave in, and what they did with him and Virgil van Dijk and everything. But at the end of the day, when you're struggling as a program or as a club, you need everyone to be able to protect that image, regardless if you're happy or not on your own situation. Mm-hmm. And for someone as big as a person as he is, and as big as a club is, it's you know, as a United fan, I'll say maybe we're a little bit happier on the outside watching it. we're kind of enjoying the chaos and the dysfunction going on there. But when you talk about Liverpool's success, and when you probably look on the other side of it, there's maybe some disappointment there.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, some pundits maybe been a little bit stronger in some of their words than others. You know, I know Rio Ferdinand, he's got his podcast. He touched on it a little bit as well. And there's been a lot that have. It's just a unique situation this day and age, for sure, with media and how sometimes things get misheard. Sometimes things probably shouldn't be said that are said.
Right.
And sometimes you have a red head instead of a blue head, and you're a little bit more fiery than calm when you're in that moment, in that hot seat behind it.
Yeah, I mean, with everything in the media, it would be hard for them to really keep that relationship. And I know he's meant so much to the club, and he's just been their face for so long. So it's so tough to move on. But when, you know, you have these leagues offering, like, somewhere between 250 to 500 million for him, it's a tough ask to say no.
100%, especially if it could help the club.
Right.
You know, if the club's looking at it, and Liverpool, this was their biggest spending they've had this past offseason.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they did have, you know, the death of one of their star players in the car crash, you know, right before the season, which they weren't planning on losing that individual. They might be looking at it going, like, all right, maybe here is the time, you know, of let's, Salah, we appreciate everything you've done. You've been a great servant for the program and represent us well. But now is the time if you want it and everything. So, yeah, I think it's probably and possibly one of those decisions now. If you can bring that money, can just help them, whether that's stabilize the club or find someone else, bring in a youngster, whatever it is.
Yeah. I've got one last question.
Yeah.
Banking off that United fandom of yours, do you know Frank Illett, the United strand, the guy who isn't cutting his hair until United win five in a row? I know.
Yes.
He's like a big deal. Obviously, United get back on track. They had a bit of a shaky start. I mean, I don't have to tell you that.
We've had some ups and downs this year, to say the least.
Yeah, right. When do you think that haircut's coming? Anytime soon? Is it in the future?
Five in a row is a big task.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. Looking at the table just the other day, it's crazy to think we'd actually be sitting in second if we had just taken care of business last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a weird feeling right now. And I think that's more just the table in general.
Yeah.
And how close it really is this year. No one has grasped it yet, and no one has really taken hold of the league, which is fine. It makes it dramatic for everyone. I think this was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was three now. There was something crazy where everyone from third to 14th were within like a 4-point window. And it's one of those, like, anything can happen.
Right.
So with how wonderful United likes to be consistent at these day and age, I think that haircut's still a little bit off.
All right.
Unfortunately, I mean, there's the rumors it's gotten as bad that they were talking about Ruud van Nistelrooy was going to come in as caretaker manager and everything just up to last week. And then United goes and, you know, has a unbelievable performance on, I think it was, Monday this week.
Right.
And so who knows? But I don't see us pulling off five in a row for a while. I think that hair is going to have ability to grow a good bit for a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Last one for me, back on the Salah thing. You know, as a coach, not to get into any specifics, but I'm sure you've had situations where guys are unhappy with playing times or unhappy with something in the program. You know, how do you deal with that, especially if the player is somebody like Salah, who is very talkative and goes to the media about it? How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to try and handle it first and early on. You're trying to just have as much honesty as you can behind it. The more honest you can be as a staff, the more honest you can be with your players and with them. You know, the last thing you ever want, I should say the last thing I ever want, and I want for our staff at least, is you want someone to go like, they've just led me on, or they haven't told me the truth, or they've been telling me like, oh, I've been playing great and I never play and it makes no sense, or he's a liar, or anything like those. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. That's the last thing, you know, from a vision of what you really ever want. So I think it's always just being honest and being able to sit down and have those conversations. You know, you always hope that you can address it much earlier than it would ever get into the media. Excuse me, if anything were to happen on that side. At that point in time, I think if it does get into the media or things are handled certain ways, you know, thankfully, you know, the professional level, things are handled maybe a little bit different. And you have your media, your director of media, and you have your media guides and everything that kind of handle those things in your ownership group. In the college space, it would be a little bit different. I think it's one of those where you try to help the young individual understand like what this means and what they go through. A lot of them aren't media trained. So trying to really do some media training with them might be a positive thing of trying to help them understand that side of it. Letting them know by all means, like some things might be off limits or that might've been unacceptable. But again, I think the media side, even as simple as podcasts, you know, for a lot of these college student athletes, like, it is a little bit foreign territory. We're trying as a program to help a little bit more and to dive into a little bit more with them and whatnot. And you guys have obviously helped with getting some guys on and everything. But I think it's just one with, you know, you certainly are disappointed probably when that happens and you're upset and you're frustrated. But it's about understanding and not overreacting to that moment if it's the first time. And trying to help the individual know what needs to happen from there. And ultimately, at the end of the day, when things are out there, they're out there.
Right.
It's just, again, about what you can address and what you need to focus on. And anything that is a distraction on the outside of the changing room or outside of the field that negates or goes against what you're trying to do to find success as a program or as a club, that needs to be understood of these are no-nos. And every single thing that can be a distraction only takes away and chips away at what you're doing.
Right.
And if you chip away too much, well, you're never going to reach what you want. So you've got to really make sure you're stacking everything you can. So I think it's just about trying to handle it, some of those capacities, and maybe sometimes media education. I don't know. Mo Salah has had plenty of that.
So, yeah. It's a lot.
he's had plenty of media education for sure. So maybe he's gone a different path, and he's decided he's just going to go and speak out. But when it comes to like our side of things, it's trying to just help mentor them and teach them. And again, we know they'll make some maybe errors or judgments in some of their speaking things of what they say, and it's just trying to help them out.
It's interesting you talk about being honest with them and really being truthful in what you're saying. You know, when I talked to Felix Schoen, he was talking about how you didn't try to sell him an image of how perfect college soccer was. You were somebody who told him, hey, these are the things you're good at, but also you kind of told them these are what we need you to improve on and want you to kind of work on going forward. So it's interesting to hear you talk about that and then hear him also have the same kind of perspective on
it. Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of things I know people will say about me and everything. The main thing that as a head coach and as a leader in general, main thing that, again, I'm always trying to make sure myself and our staff are is we're always – everyone will always walk out and go like, okay – they may have been tough, they may have been hard, they might have been brutally honest, but at least like we got honesty from them and we never were led on, we never got spun around or anything like that side of it. It's just always one that, you know, I just try to make sure that we can stay that way. And again, hopefully they can go like, yeah, he's honest, he's energetic, and their staff's energetic and everything. He's a bit crazy, he's a bit too much obsessed with the sport. He loves his dogs and his wife way over the top and everything and whatnot, but like... He's a good person. He means well at his heart, but he's going to give you the honesty, and it will not be enjoyable sometimes. But that's just to try and help you as a person and as a player continue to develop.
Yeah, fair enough.
As always, Coach, thank you for the time. For Ryan Addio, producer Chris Russell, I'm Gavin Watson. This has been the Bonnies Breakaway on the Bonnies Online Network. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.